Once upon a time, there were three writers. They stole a prompt uttered in real life and ran with it. Bella, hit the theme tune.
Wait, sorry, I was too overcome with existential dread to respond. I apologise.
Good theme tune, Bella.
You're welcome.
That was probably one of the most solemn theme tunes we've had.
Okay, Erin, if you think you can do better, Erin hit the theme tune.
Oh no, wait, I wasn't prepared for this!
And you think Bella is prepared when I say that?
Yeah, but Bella has like the whole week to come up with a few jingles.
How is everyone doing in lockdown today?
I'm doing good. At the beginning of lockdown, I had 5 assignments, and I have now submitted 3, so we're on the home stretch.
Woo! We're on the same page, Izzy. We're both almost there.
Awesome, guys.
What about you, Erin?
I am good. I am just generally good.
That's good. That brings me peace.
Erin submitted her assignments long ago.
Shush, yeah. Izzy, shush!
But I saved all of my creative writing assignments till last, so I've got the fun ones now.
My creative writing assignments are not last, but they're penultimate, so they're going to be a nice break from writing about train spotting and other depressing novels.
The joys of an English degree.
The joys of an English degree.
So, this week's prompt is, why am I a rabbit? And this prompt came from, this is one that came from me because I was video calling my boyfriend and he accidentally turns, we do it over Messenger, and he accidentally turns on the face filters and he just suddenly looked like a bunny and he was really confused as to why he was a rabbit. So that's where that came from.
Did you tell him how to correct it or did you just leave him looking like a rabbit for the rest of the call?
I laughed at him and then he worked out how to correct it.
I don't think that beats the manager who was on a Zoom call in a meeting and accidentally turned herself into a potato and couldn't turn herself back.
That's brilliant. So how did you guys find the prompts this week?
Mine went in a very weird direction. Bella, how was yours?
I wouldn't say it went in a weird direction, but in mine, I'm not a rabbit, I'm a toad.
Same
interesting
thing.
Yeah, so same concept but different animal. I have a spiritual connection to toads that cannot be explained. Well, I'm about to explain it, but also it cannot be explained.
And there's another prompted quote right there, Bella.
I'm full of those.
I took this one in a nostalgic direction because in my first year halls, there were loads of little rabbits hopping around, so that's where mine came from.
Aww.
I know. I guess we should go into mine. Mine's the first one.
Absolutely.
So I basically, obviously, this pandemic has meant that we haven't had a normal term 3, so I got super nostalgic, and I just wrote a poem, I think it's called I've used anaphora. I'm not sure what the genre of poem is, but I've written poetry and it's got anaphora in it. It's one of those words that you only ever write and you never say in real life until you're doing a podcast.
It's just reminded me of a joke I need to tell my mom.
What's the joke, Bella?
What's the joke?
Well, I was going to say like, oh, did you hear about that actress that was stabbed recently? Oh, what was her name? Reese. And then she'll go, with a spoon? I'll go, no, with a knife. I don't know why anaphora reminded me of that, but
the wordplay?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you for reminding me. It's gonna be great.
Thanks for that beautiful joke, Bella. It's great. Just bulldoze over my piece, why don't you?
That's all I am, jokes and prompts.
Let's go into your piece, Izzy.
Let's go into my piece. So yeah, so I've basically just reflected on what term 3 is, and I also, this isn't just my term 3, I've been on all my group chats, I've just been saying, yo, guys, what is term three to you? Except without the yo, because I'm not that cool. And they saw...
You are 100% that cool, Izzy.
Thank you, Aaron. I feel very honoured with that. Yeah, so... Anyway, so this is a collection of everyone's term threes. This isn't just me. This is a collective experience held by everyone in the world bonding over this one thing.
Now, that isn't exactly true, is it, Izzy?
Because
I was on that group call where you asked what people's term threes were to them, and you didn't use any of mine because...
I wasn't even asked.
I asked you earlier when we were setting up. Got in. Okay, Erin, what is term three to you?
I don't know.
This is why I don't ask you, because I can't just put term three is I don't know, can I?
Don't bother, Erin. She won't use them anyway. In the name of censorship, she didn't use any of mine.
We're going to go into my piece.
Let's do
that. Because you guys are just... annoying. Lovely. Lovely. Best co-hosts in the world.
We love you, Izzy.
I requite that love. Okay, so, term three is arriving in hoodies and leaving in a crop top.
Term three is playing warm-ups and cool-downs.
Term three is playing the violin with the door open.
Term three is your mum ringing to say you forgot your sun cream.
Term three is running to rehearsals hours late.
Term three is where the pubs turn into libraries.
Term three is plants withering on your windowsill.
Term three is beanbags on daisy banks.
Term three is where days are valued in words on the page.
Term three is birthdays in the kitchen.
Term three is studying.
Term three is studying.
Term three is studying.
Term three is town of Salem at 4 a.m.
Term three is video calling your cat.
Term three is pedalos on the lake.
Term three is 17,000 words in 4 weeks.
Term three is holding back a stranger's hair as they throw up.
Term three is booking a holiday for him.
Term three is messing up your new exact positions.
Term three is writing poetry by the lake.
Term three is food markets and vintage clothes.
Term three is sober circling.
Term three is walking until you're lost.
Term three is updating your CV.
Term three is searching the library for a familiar face.
Term three is baby geese blocking your path.
Term three is sitting on Erin's bed and screaming Quente.
Term three is pouring boiling water into glass and picking up the shards from the floor.
Term three is cooking for each other.
Term three is squinting at your computer in the sun.
Term three is pink gin and catfish.
Term three is cutting jeans into shorts.
Term three is laughing in rehearsal rooms.
Term three is cancelling plans.
Term three is milkshakes and ice cream.
Term three is putting each other's deadlines in your calendar.
Term three is backpack straps tanned into you.
Term three is screaming at your book.
Term three is Mario Kart.
Term three is flatmates bound to their desks.
Term three is realising he wears too much sun cream.
Term three is shows with empty audiences.
Term three is throwing laundry bags in the bushes.
Term three is hating modernity.
Term three is the Macarena on the piazza.
Term three is backspacing introductions.
Term three is creeping up to a rabbit with a camera.
Term three is asking if the author is dead.
Term three is collective cocktail hangovers.
Term three is calling your girls from home.
Term three is posing on washing machines.
Term three is David Attenborough and Louis Theroux.
Term three is killing Bella on Minecraft.
Term three is waiting outside his last exam.
Term three is the library turning into bars.
Term three is drinking beer next to the rabbit holes.
Term three is meeting his parents.
Term three is flying over speed bumps.
Term three is the roller coaster in Cadbury's World.
Term three is the show coming together.
Term three is picnics by the cat statue.
Term three is dressing up like Donna Sheridan.
Term three is cycling to the castle.
Term three is packing your room in Dad's car.
Term three is goodbye.
Now I feel nostalgic.
Me too.
I know.
There are many memories in there that I can recall.
I was going to say, yeah, I've put stuff in. Lots of my turn three involved both of you guys, so I put a lot of that in.
Why were we screaming Quent? Was it for Chaucer?
Yes, it's a word in Chaucer.
Okay, awesome.
My favourite word.
Me and Erin were learning Middle English. I was just sat on Erin's bed and we were just both trying to go through translating Middle English. And we got pretty good at it, to be fair.
We did get good at it, yeah.
This wasn't just for fun, by the way. This was for course.
The two that particularly got to me were Pink Gin and Catfish, because we did that a lot. If you're born in lockdown, I recommend binging Catfish. And also hating modernity, because whilst it sounds like a really powerful line about society, it's actually about one of the modules Izzy and I were taking and how often Izzy complained about how she did not care about what modernity meant.
I just don't understand what it means. When when the tutor is describing modernity to you as something that cannot be defined, I just don't know how I'm supposed to write an essay on it.
With grave difficulty and determination.
Yeah. When picking my modules. Exactly. When picking my modules, if a module course had the word modernity in it, I'm not picking that module. It's just too hard.
Izzy and I were sat in prep picking modules and reading them out to each other so that we could figure out which ones we liked. And if at any point I was reading a description of a module and I said the word modernity, Izzy just went, nope, next.
That was good. It meant that I got to help you choose your modules as well, because you are notoriously bad at picking modules, Bella.
Do not. I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to be so happy today when I submit the last essay for one of my modules, because it means I never have to think about that module ever again. Ever again.
Meanwhile, me and Erin always pick the same modules accidentally.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah. I think we've got about two the same next year, so that's going to be good. I hope you're in your class.
Me too.
So yeah, that was just really nostalgic. I really loved writing it and picking out all the memories. And to be fair, when I asked people about what defined term three, it was usually something to do with a little can of alcohol outside. So I think that's quite a shared experience about term three. It's both the best and worst term, because you have the most work, but then once you've finished your work, you can just do whatever you want with all of your friends.
Mine is also pretty nostalgic, but in a different way, I think. And
should we move on to yours then?
Let's keep the nostalgia going. So my piece actually ended up being part of a larger piece, and it's based around my tattoos. So I did like miniature pieces about each of my tattoos, and this one in particular is about a toad that I have tattooed on my leg. It's a very fat, ugly, unattractive toad, and his name is Tony, and he has a criminal record, just so you're aware, so don't be talking any, you know, about him, because he is a dangerous creature. But
of course.
This is the origin of Tony, essentially. I took Wick, Foley, and Benji home with me. We rented a musty Ford Fiesta in grey, and Benji drove us from the coast to the mountains. Montalto della Marche, I announced as we approached the vineyards. Benvenuti. That afternoon, I set a pan of fresh tomatoes on the stove, and that night, I cooked it into potato gnocchi. I poured us each half a bottle of Peroni and lit two candles either side of the table to keep the mosquitoes away. We ate as the sun set. We were the picture of contentment. Later, we snuck into the public pool with a bottle of DiSerrano and our best crystal glasses. Wick played the blues from his phone as we leapt and tossed a volleyball over an imaginary net. To the right, a petrol station with one pump. To the left, a sheer drop into the rest of the world. When we had finished the amaretto, we washed its glaze from our faces and lounged around the edge of the pool. Crickets chirped a symphony. The night was warm on our wet bodies. I began to cry.
Viv?
Benji soothed, crawling to where I lay.
Viv, what's wrong?
I shook my head. Everything was too much, too fast. There weren't words.
Come on, Viv.
Wick put a hand on my shoulder.
Don't cry.
This was such a good time.
said Foley.
Such a good time. No need for tears, Viv,
came Benji again. I rolled over and lay my cheek on the lip of the terracotta, shuddering. I closed my eyes against the gentle lap of the water, with its slow, tender momentum. And then I heard it. Croak. My eyes flew open. I swallowed. Did you croak?
It's coming from over here,
said Foley, getting on all fours. I stood and we all knelt with him next to the filter.
Do you think...
Croak. I leant over Wick's knees and put my eye in line with a hole in the filter lid. It's too dark to tell for sure, I whispered, but I think it's a toad.
A toad?
Foley cautiously poked his forefinger into the hole and then drew back suddenly.
It's definitely something.
Croak.
If it's a toad,
said Wick,
shouldn't we help him out?
We all sat back as Foley opened the filter, and for a moment we couldn't be sure what we were seeing. But there, under the spectral fluorescence of the pool lights, sat a ripe, obese toad. I slid back into the water to get a better look. It sat with one arm on the buoy and blinked irritably at me. It lounged as if in a jacuzzi, and we had just interrupted its luxurious experience.
That toad,
Wick drawled, grinning slyly at all of us.
Knows what's good.
I had to agree. I had never seen a creature so at peace before. I felt, in that moment, that if I could connect myself to this toad, I would understand how to be happy with what is and what was. I looked back at Foley, Wick, and Benji. Close the filter, I told them, raising my eyebrows. Give the poor toad his privacy.
For those listeners who can't see, there's a lovely picture of the toad on this document.
I did draw
That's
a really
such a rough cute picture.
I drew a really rough photo of the toad.
You need to put that on Instagram, Bella. People have got to see the toad.
It's so happy. Bad.
He's just chilling. He's just got his eyes half closed and he's got a little frown, but like a good contented frown.
He didn't want to be interrupted, you know?
Is this based on real life, Bella?
It is, yes, but the characters are not. They're more like caricatures, I suppose, but not so much in this piece. Wick, Benji and Foley have been brought up before.
I love how you describe... Because you're talking about Italy, right?
Yes.
I love how you describe Italy and like the culture and your place there, and you call it home, which I think is really sweet.
It is home. I do miss it a lot. I get very homesick very often, especially with this lockdown. There was actually an intention for our family to go there for quite a while, but obviously we couldn't in the end. And I think writing this piece kind of makes me feel more connected. And often when I have tattoos as well, that helps me feel more connected to certain aspects and memories in my life. Yeah.
I have never been to Italy, and you just made me homesick for a place I've never been to. So that was very cool.
I'm glad that it worked. I mean, Erin's genre is dystopia, and I suppose Italy is a utopia, so Erin's is the antithesis to... my piece.
Nicely done.
just use loads of big fancy words in order to segue.
Yeah.
No.
So yeah, Erin, your piece.
Yes. So Bella, you are playing the main character, which is Green. Izzy, you are playing Max, who is a very cranky old lady. Yes. So I would love to hear your voice for that. And you're also...
I have to do a voice?
You get to... If you would like to do a voice, please go ahead. You're also playing Cargo, who's a little girl. So
okay.
two very opposing characters there.
Uh-huh. I'll get my full vocal range.
Okay, take it away, Izzy.
Cargo's in there.
Max grunted, gesturing to the room beside her office.
You have 10 minutes to suit them up and get them ready to go.
You need to give me more specifics,
I protested.
What size do they need? How much experience have they had?
Max shook her head, itching at the dandruff flaked across her scalp.
You don't get to ask any questions about this one. No names, not even fake ones. assume no experience, and age is obvious.
What's that supposed to mean?
Mags turned to head into her office.
Hey, come on, Mags. This had better not be a kid. You know how I feel about that.
Sure I do.
She wore a simple black mask, like me, but I knew that she was smiling underneath.
I also know you're broke. I can give this job to another runner, but I promised the client that their cargo would get out of the city without being seen by drones or cameras. And you're the best person for the job. Or am I wrong?
She was just trying to get a rise out of me, but it was working. I could get people as far as the wastelands without being seen by any kind of eye, human or electronic. Even if I did get caught on a job, there were no records of me. No hospital knew my blood type. There was no family tree on any database. If whoever called me pulled off my mask, they would see an unregistered face. I was an impossibility, and that kind of reputation brought clients to us in droves.
You're not wrong,
I muttered. Mag shut the door and I headed for the box room. The cover suits hung from every bare inch of the walls. The cargo was sitting in the middle of them, and as soon as I saw them, my heart sank. A kid. Their face was covered by a simple mask like mine, but there was no disguising the narrow shoulders and slim build. They were dressed in colours, bright blue jeans and a cartoon top with a rabbit on it. They could be suited by a drone with a broken camera dressed like that.
I need to get you suited up. Stand up, please.
They obeyed. I got the measuring tape and checked their size. The closest suit we had in storage was still too big, but it would have to do. The kid stayed still through the measuring and put on the suit quietly. Too quietly. It was starting to freak me out, to be honest.
Have you ever worn a cover suit before?
She shook her head at me.
Okay. Once it's buckled up, we put the helmet here and it'll activate with this button. Then the fabric will start to look like whatever's behind you. If you move very, very slowly, the suit will adjust to the background so that you'll barely be visible. Do you understand?
Another nod.
Good. Turn around so I can start buckling you in.
We won't make it.
I did a double take.
Excuse me?
We won't make it through the city.
My hands froze over the buckle. Her tiny fists were clenched by her waist. She was shaking. Mags didn't have time for me to comfort a kid. Hell, I didn't have time for it myself. But I knew that this needed to be dealt with now. I turned her back round to face me.
Listen, Cargo.
That's not my name.
It is for tonight. Listen, I...
What do I call you?
Her eyes were bright behind the mask. I swallowed.
You're not allowed to know my name.
But I want to call you something.
I glanced at the cartoon rabbit on her top, peeking through the undone zip of the suit.
What's your rabbit called?
Jumpy.
Fine, call me that. I've done cargo runs for longer than you've been alive. Want to know how many times I got caught?
None.
One. Want to know why? The cargo sneezed while a drone was nearby. But you're not going to sneeze, are you?
She shook her head.
But what if Jumpy sneezes?
What if... me or the rabbit?
Rabbit.
This was going to be a very long night.
Jumpy's going to be all snug in your suit. No one's going to see them.
But Jumpy doesn't need a mask. I don't want one either.
Then the cargo did something very, very stupid. They reached up with their little hand and pulled off their mask. I saw brown eyes and dark skin and a solemn mouth that was pressed into a straight line. I rocked backward to where I was kneeling and nearly fell into the seats. This little girl looked exactly like Rose. My Rose, the woman I'd not seen in 6 years, 11 months and 14 days. I counted every single day with dread, and now a tiny version of her was standing right in front of me.
What's wrong?
She asked. I took a deep breath. I had to know.
What's your mummy's name, Cargo?
I'm not meant to tell you that.
No. No, of course you're not. Sorry. But is it a flower?
She nodded. I was freaking her out now too, I could tell. I reached out and took her hand in mine.
I'm going to get you out of this city, Cargo. I promise. That was so cool.
I love how, we find the sort of human character in the protagonist. Because it starts off when they're like, they don't have any trace or anything like that, and then suddenly there's this one person who makes them slightly human and makes them want to protect this little child.
Hopefully it won't go all horribly wrong.
Hopefully.
They'll be fine.
Why do you say that like they're not going to be fine?
It's a dystopia.
How do you imagine it going on?
I imagine that it would like get very well in the end, but their actual journey would be really like difficult, and they'd meet up with like different random people in this apocalyptic landscape, and they get betrayed at one point, they get separated, and there would be this whole like thing of trying to find the cargo, and it would all end up eventually, but they would have a very bad journey.
I like that idea. The protagonist reminds me of, there's a series called Jack Reacher by Lee Child, and the whole thing is that the protagonist is completely untraceable. He always swaps out his clothes, and I think all he has on him is his military ID card and a little bit of money. And so I think the only way to contact him is someone once posted him some money, and the amount that they posted him had some significance to it, and that's how they contacted him. But apart from that, you just can't find him. And that's kind of what your protagonist reminded me of.
You are the best at sci-fi and dystopia, Erin. No. I worship you.
No. I worship your poetry.
No.
Better with the compliments.
We've all got our different zones, right? In Prompted. Like, we've all got different corners. Like, Bella's got poetry and her, like, lyrical prose. And Erin's got her sci-fi. And I've got whatever I've got.
Izzy, you're incredibly talented.
Oh, yeah, I've got everything then. Paola Wiki Airlines. I've said that wrong, so I'm going to spell it out. So, at PAWLICKI.Airlines. And they're a really good account that they do lots of video combined with sort of writing that reads like a book, and so they're really good at bringing little clips of video that aren't necessarily related to the text, but at the same time there is some deeper link there, and it just really enriches your reading experience. And they have asked, have you ever considered writing something together? And I mean something like your regular size novel. That would be super interesting and innovative. I can also imagine it would be a great selling point while pitching the story idea.
That would either be amazing or utter chaos.
I would happily write with both of you. With Erin, we've tried to like map out story ideas before and stuff like that, and done little ideas forming together. We also do a lot of improv together, so that's a lot of story making on the spot. So I can definitely see myself continuing the little script that me and Erin started to make last year. And then with Bella, we've submitted to write a pantomime together. We'll see whether it gets picked or a different one. But I would definitely happily write something like a pantomime with Bella, or just anything with Bella.
We just start off by trying to write a poem together and see what happens.
A poem together would not work because Bella is distinctly better at poetry.
That's not true. Poetry is like in the eye of the beholder, you know?
So it was when I was writing my term 3 poem and Bella was giving me lines. The reason why half of them aren't included is because they're so much better than the other lines in the poem, Bella.
I thought it was because you were trying to censor me.
We should do a competition where we each write something and the listeners have got to guess who wrote what. But we mimic each other's styles just to make it even harder.
Yeah. I think the thing with Prompted is that we all have such distinct different styles that if we combine all three of us together at once, that's just basically Prompted, isn't it? It's just a mismatch of all of our styles. This is what we're doing right now. Whereas maybe if we were to find the average genre between us, I don't know, like me and Bella can both write pantomimes, and me and Erin can, I mean, Erin's got more of the sci-fi, but I can write a script as well. So we can both come up with ideas like that. I feel like we should write stuff together.
Summer challenge.
Summer challenge, yeah.
We've got a lot of time.
And so we now have questions for Bella. The first one is from @thewarthogpodcast, and they're asking, how do you write such diverse characters from so many different backgrounds?
Oh, well, I find that I take a lot of my writing from experience. So when I'm writing different characters, they are usually, I don't want to say based on real life people, but I take sort of dialogue and traits and quirks and stories from real life people and usually slot them into characters to make them seem more real. And I don't do it in a non-consensual way, of course. All the characters I've usually caricatured are very aware that I've done it, and I have actually quite enjoyed the results. Some more than others. But that tends to be what I do. And I've also found that because I'm sort of someone who feels split between two different cultures, so I've always felt very connected to the Italian culture, but I've also spent a lot of my time growing up in the UK, so I feel quite connected to a lot of the traits and facets of UK culture as well as Italian culture, so it's quite nice sometimes to switch between styles. I'll usually write characters from Italy, and then I might switch to quite crass British characters. I usually just take it from experience, and that's how my characters come to be. There's no imagination or originality involved.
I love all of your characters. And I was, for my own assignments, I need to use some characters based from real life, but change them into my own. And so I was just calling Bella yesterday saying, Bella, how do you do that? And she explained for me, which was really helpful. So we've got a question now, which I hate this question so much. And I can that I hate the person who submitted it as well. No, I don't. I love Kenneth.
We know the person who submitted it, so it's all good.
Yeah, okay. So actually, you know what? This question, don't need it, you know? Skip right past it, right?
If you skip past it, you perpetuate what the question is asking.
How about I ask it in a very sarcastic tone, Izzy?
Do it.
Okay, this is from @kdog97. Why do you censor Bella so much? Grrr.
I love Kenneth being angry on my behalf.
Yeah, so this is a running joke in Prompted that I censor Bella.
Hey, don't invalidate my experience by calling it a running joke. I am very upset.
So I hate you. I hate you all. I hate Kenneth as well. When Kenneth sent in this question, I had a long messenger argument with him that he ended up winning, and his prize for winning that argument is that he wants me to announce that he officially has won Prompted and owns Prompted. So
okay, interesting.
We're working for Kenneth now. But aside from that, so for Prompted, there's when you upload stuff onto Anchor, you can either click the clean content or the explicit content. And I thought that it would be nice to be able to click the clean content, and we look at our age demographics. And although we don't have many young audience members, we still have enough that we want to keep it sort of PG-13-ish. Bella's writing, on the other hand, outside of Prompted, is about PG-34.
PG-34? Well, so it's above our own age rating, is that what you're saying, Izzy?
Yeah, I mean, Bella has the soul of a 48-year-old woman. And
I'm the hippie grandmother, you have to get it right. Hippie grandmother who bestows all-knowing, not exactly PG-13 knowledge on all of her hippie children.
And there is another prompt for next season.
Yeah. So there's yeah, basically, every time Bella writes a piece, there's a lot of her saying, Izzy, is this okay? And reading it out to me, and a big argument.
I do remember there was one thing we had on a messenger chat where Bella put a piece on and said, like, oh, can someone read this and check it's PG-13? And I'm not going to say what was in it, because it's been read out now, but I just put, Bella, did you just write about this? And Izzy saw the message out of context, and we just got an all caps message from Izzy going, I leave you guys alone for 5 minutes, and look what you've done to my podcast.
I will put my hand up and say that there are certainly some things I've written that definitely should not have been in the podcast, but over the episodes, Izzy and I have had discussions about things that she did concede were, in the end, okay.
I mean, like, The Woman in Black is a 12, like, the movie, and that should not be a 12, so we're not as bad as The Woman in Black.
No.
Gosh, this joke... which is a joke, because I don't censor anyone. It has gone so deep that we actually looked through the guidelines of PG-13. And basically, you can imply anything in the world. You can say anything you want through implication. It's just, if you were to explicitly say something, you like then it becomes outside of that age rating. So we also went through as well, and we unpicked the PG-13 guidelines, and there's some bits, aspects of it that we think are a little bit archaic and don't reflect where our society is. And so we have changed some of the guidelines, and we call ourselves PG-13-ish.
I think specifically the one that we ended up changing was the idea that we can be sex positive and not, like, whilst not obviously being explicit, because it's still PG-13, there was this sort of idea that you couldn't, like, be explicit about sex at all, whereas in the kind of society I hope we live in today, we're a little bit more sex positive than that. And so that's the argument I ended up winning. I was quite glad about that. So I have gained more freedom over the episodes.
So you've heard it from Bella there. I don't censor. I let her win.
Not always.
So let's move on to our discussion point. It is Pride Week, isn't it?
It is indeed. I am here being outrageously gay. Just in my aura. I was wearing a rainbow bandana yesterday.
We're going to do our discussion point is how do you write queer characters? Because there are lots of places where queer characters are represented really well. And there are lots of places where they're represented really badly or just not represented at all. Should you start off with Erin? You put your good list together.
I have got a list, yes. So I need to make this into an Instagram post. I made a list of all the podcasts I've listened to which have LGBTQA+ characters in them, so I'm just going to read that out. Okay. The Strange Case of Starship Iris, The Magnus Archives, King Falls AM, The Bright Sessions, 0 Hours, Wolf 359, EOS 10, Welcome to Night Vale, The Penumbra Podcast, Steal the Stars, and The Deep Vault. All of them are fantastic, would highly recommend.
That's really cool. So those are the good examples. And then I've been doing recently, so I've been writing an essay about where creatives have tried to include LGBTQ+ characters, but they've included them and then instantly just gone into stereotypes and really quite homophobic ideas. And so I guess, like, I've been researching a lot into the different stereotypes and stuff like that, and basically what I've sort of discovered while doing it is if you're writing about an LGBTQA+ character, just because you're representing someone doesn't then give you the authority to make fun of their sexuality. And basically, sexuality is just one aspect of an entire person, in the same way as someone's height is an aspect of their personality, or if someone likes origami. And so it can be, like, if someone likes origami, that's really cool, and it is an important aspect of them, but it isn't the defining aspect of them. And so that's what I was kind of looking into. What do you think, Bella?
So I actually kind of have a series that you might have to scroll to find on the prompted Instagram called Writing LGBTQ+. And I'll probably post a new one soon. But the first kind of thing I looked at was the difference between queer characters versus characters who happen to be queer, which both are okay to write about in novels. There's a lot of novels where it's quite imperative that the plot revolves sort of around the character's sexuality and gender because it's trying to send a message. But it's also really cool to, in text, have characters who just happen to be queer, and it's not a huge plot point. It's just, like in real life, people exist who are queer, and in your stories it's always really good to have people who exist who are queer. The other post that I made was about stereotypes, which I hate. I hate stereotypes so much because a lot of them specifically are applied to me and my sexuality in everyday life. So in novels, sort of not trying to convey the idea that, for example, bisexual, pansexual, polysexual characters are promiscuous or disloyal or non-committal because they like more than one gender, because that's so incorrect. That is not how it works. And the idea that three is a crowd, so the whole idea that two queer characters doesn't instantly make a romance. So write queer characters who are friends. I have plenty of gay friends, and it's not just in shows, it's quite typical for there to only be two queer characters and they instantly end up together because they're the only ones that exist. And of course, representation for me is so important because there's this assumption that LGBT is where it stops, which that's not the case. There are so many complex, broad, and beautiful people out there that have a whole variety of different sexualities and genders. So representing those people is kind of, it's very, very important because they don't get represented often. And that is a summary of my little series so far. Hope that helps anyone who's intending to write queer characters. Speaking of Pride Week, although it's really good to celebrate this month as being Pride Month, there are other things currently going on in the world at the moment that needs to take priority. So we just wanted to take a moment to use our platform to tell you how you can contribute to the Black Lives Matter movement, because whilst our platform isn't a huge one, the fact we have one at all means we're able to spread awareness. So we've compiled some links and things you can do to support the Black Lives Matter cause. If you would like to donate to the cause, you can literally go to blacklivesmatter.com. The donate button is on the homepage, and you can donate via Apple Pay, PayPal, or debit card. You can donate once or make it a monthly donation. Any support will help the campaign. There is also a new petition on change.org to freeze all UK exports of policing and security equipment to the USA, such as rubber bullets, tear gas, and riot shields, as these are being used against non-violent protesters in the internal oppression of citizens, and therefore their export is actually illegal under UK law. You can also sign this petition, and you can also donate, and you can write to your MP using your full name and address to demand the suspension of these exports. Other funds you can donate to include the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which has been posting bail for protesters who have been arrested. In the US, failure to post bail can lead to jail time, so if you can, please donate at minnesotafreedomfund.org. You can donate to the official George Floyd Memorial Fund at www.gofundme.com/f/George Floyd. Campaign Zero, found at www.joincampaignzero.org, is an organisation that seeks to end police violence in America as well. You can also become a member of organisations that support BAME communities, which gives you access to resources to help educate yourself and others, as well as inform you of relevant events, new research, and policy-making decisions. ROTA, or Race on the Agenda, is a free organisation that you can join and is one of the leading ones in the UK. To join, you can go to www.rota.org.uk/rota membership. If you would like to educate yourself further, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race, a book by Rennie Edo Lodge, has been recommended to me by several people and is a good place to start. She also has a podcast series called About Race, and you can find this on Spotify. Last but not least, I urge you to not forget that George Floyd is not a singular case, and that your active anti-racism is the most powerful support that you can give. Being honest with yourself and others about racist behaviour is imperative to the success of this fight. Remember that your support must be long-term, lifelong, and not short-term, if we are to gain freedom for all. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Bella, for putting those links together. That's really helpful.
I will also post them on the Instagram so that you absolutely can click.
They'll be in the episode description too.
Yeah, it's really nice to have all of those links in one place so that we know what we can do. So looking towards next week now, we have next week's prompt. And this is a double prompt week. So I'm really excited to see how the two prompts link together. So the first prompt is, everyone's dressed in suits and ball gowns and I'm dressed like this. And the second prompt is, I didn't know what to bring. I have a jar of peanut butter and two forks. So I'm really looking forward to working on those prompts. If those prompts help for you guys at home, then please let us know and show us what it's inspired you to write. Yeah. What do you guys think about these prompts?
I know the context of both of them and they were both from the same day. So we have that to look forward to.
That's why they slot nicely together.
Yeah.
They do slot really nicely together. And actually, Jamie, our author, he's done a piece for these two where they basically slot together, and that's really nice. So I'm looking forward to looking at his piece next week. So yeah, so thank you so much for listening, guys, and thank you to the prompt provider, which is my boyfriend Hamish, for being stupid on Messenger. So thank you so much to him for that prompt. Thanks to all of our writers. It's nice to thank each other. I like that bit. Thanks so much to you guys for listening at home. For more prompts and writing, go to our Instagram at Prompted Writing Podcast. If you want writing advice or want to share your responses to one of our prompts, feel free to DM us. If you can find us on Anchor FM, which distributes us to Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. And feel free to leave us a review as well. That'd be really helpful. And thank you again so much for listening. Goodbye.
Erin here, and I've got another blooper for you that I found while editing. I hope you enjoy.
Term 3 is arriving in... We'll go again.
Three words in.
Such a good start.
No, right. Okay. Zen. Okay.